Ready to level up your day? Then join me and my friends at LoneStarCasino.com. That's L-O-N-E-S-T-A-R Casino, where you can experience the thrill of Las Vegas, no matter where you are. LoneStarCasino.com is an absolutely free-to-play social casino with thousands of games, daily bonuses, free spins, and jackpots that pop like fireworks. Hit pause on life and hit play on LoneStarCasino.com.
Lone Star Casino is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit LoneStarCasino.com for more details.
Sign up today for an incredible welcome bonus. Play bold. Win big.
Morning Drive, ESPN 102.5 The Game. Derek Mason, Braden Gall. Predators back on the ice tonight against Buffalo. Hal Gill going to join us coming up in just a few minutes. We'll talk about that. We spent a lot of time on the Titans, of course, as well as some college football talk. But college basketball in the mid-state area, I think it's stronger than it's ever been, and in the state of Tennessee, maybe ever. So we got a huge game coming up on Saturday, Memphis at Tennessee in Thompson Bowling Arena. Joining us now, national college basketball analyst for ESPN, Seth Greenberg, joining us here. Seth, how are you, sir? Welcome to the show. And how is the state of basketball in the South and in Tennessee right now from your perspective nationally?
Well, I mean, obviously Memphis is almost the epicenter of college basketball in a lot of ways with everything that's gone on there with James Wiseman and the situation with the University of Memphis decided to play him, the freshman class, the expectation, the manner in which they've become a little bit of this year's, iteration of the Fab Five. The success Tennessee's had has been obviously well documented, the job that Rick has done. And even though they lost two terrific players, actually three terrific players, and they are extremely competitive and tough and are built to last. So, Jerry's going to do a good job at Vanderbilt. And quite honestly, he was left some pretty good players. And look, I think Jerry Stackhouse is a terrific coach, but how they treated Bryce Drew was absolutely appalling. But that's another story. To me, basketball is alive and well in the state, and it's a state that loves basketball. That's the biggest thing. I mean, in the South, you take Kentucky out of the equation, the state of Kentucky, who really loves basketball? I'll tell you one thing. People in the state of Tennessee love their hoops.
Yeah, they do. They, Vandy has been, up and down, and it seems like they're trending back up now. Memphis has gotten that program back going. UT with what they did last year, they're building on it again this year. Basketball just seems like, whether it's Belmont or Lipscomb, it's trending upward when you're talking about national, from a national perspective. Now, looking at basketball in general, we've had several number one, Seth. Is this just, because I've always said I love college basketball because it's so unpredictable. Is this just college basketball or trying to figure out who's number one is going to be harder this year than I think in previous years?
Well, I think it's going to be harder this year. I mean, first of all, it's a byproduct of the number of players that have left college basketball. But think about this. There are 44 guys that left college basketball last year that didn't get drafted. That probably could be helping teams be more consistent. The young teams are just not mentally, physically tough. There's not one dominant player right now in college basketball. Now, maybe James Wiseman will develop into that guy. But if you say who's the most dominant player in college basketball, is Vernon Carey that guy? Well, you need someone to get him the ball. And there's no dominant team. It just every team has a flaw. I said it the other day. I mean, we're in for a wild ride. I mean, that's just the way. These aren't upsets. These are, quite honestly, there's a best team in college basketball. There's a best player in college basketball in a moment in time. But you've got to do it each and every night. And there's not a team that's that much better, that much more talented, that much tougher, that much more experienced to separate themselves. So you're going to see situations like that. A couple of weeks ago, we thought Michigan was, the best team in the country. And then they lose to Illinois. Maryland was undefeated. They go to their first road game. And they get beat at Penn State. Indiana was rolling. They go on the road to Wisconsin that was struggling. They get beat. So I think that it's going to be in a moment in time. That the interesting thing is going to be for you guys and, fans, seeding the tournament, NCAA tournament, is going to be unbelievable because there's not much separation. And selecting it will even be that much harder right now. So it's going to be a great year of college basketball, but there's no such thing as an upset.
Yeah, it's been insane this year as teams are just churning through the top 25. Seth Greenberg joining us here on Morning Drive, Derek Mason, Braden Gall. And You know, Tennessee's an interesting team. They've got some veteran experience around the perimeter. They've got some nice guards that have played in big games. A young freshman who's a nice wing. I don't know. You know, that team ran so heavily through their front court the last couple of years with Grant Williams and company. I just watched that team, and they're lost to Florida State, for example, where Florida State clearly had better athletic ability and size down low. Is that your biggest concern for Tennessee, is just the front court play and when they run up against really athletic teams in the future?
Yeah, I think that the front court play is obviously, you know, coming into this Memphis game for sure. I mean, with Precious and the athleticism of Jeffries, you're asking East Ponce to do a lot that he has not shown he could do game in and game out throughout his career. Now, he's having a very, very good season. You're asking John Fulkerson to stay out of foul trouble, rebound the ball, give a little inside scoring, give him, you know, activity up front. But their depth in the front court is a concern. But I think in this game, the bigger question is, can they take care of the ball? The one thing Memphis does to you, and I think Penny does a really good job of getting these guys to try to create havoc, getting these guys to try to make the game faster, getting these guys to try to make you play faster than your abilities and speed you up. And, you know, there's no Jordan Bowen. So Lamonte and Bowden, they're going to have to make good decisions. Josiah James, they're going to have to make good decisions on the run with the ball. Tempo is going to be the most important thing in this game. The faster the tempo, the better it is for Memphis. If Tennessee can handle the ball, and I'm not saying play slow, but own the tempo of the game, then it's going to be an advantage for Tennessee. The more they can set their defense and make Memphis play against a half-court defense, the better it is going to be for Tennessee. So I think tempo is going to be important. I think that rebounding on defense then will be extremely important. Now, Tennessee is a very good defensive rebounding team. Memphis is a very good offensive rebounding team. Not having Quinones is a factor in this game because of his size and his versatility and his shot making. So, look, this is going to be a great event. I mean, like, I'm big into this game because I think that this time of the year, this isn't a game. This is an event. These two teams, quite honestly, don't like each other. That's just the way it is. It's a real rivalry. Both teams have had a chance to win. It's a real rivalry. It's there's intrigue in the game. I just think it's a terrific game, and I'm excited about it.
Now, we talked a little about Memphis. We talked a little bit about UT. Jerry Stackhouse and Vandy, with this three-player rotation that he have in Naismith, Lee, and Pippen Jr., do you think this year they have the team and the depth to truly compete on the SEC level, or are they another year out? Because Naismith is playing well. He's averaging, you know, well over 20 points. He's shooting excellent from the three-point line. Scottie Pippen Jr. is playing well as Saban Lee. But are they – is it this year or will it be next year they make the biggest jump, you believe?
You know, probably next year. They've got to add pieces. I mean, that's just you look at who they've beaten and who they've lost to. The best win, I think, is Buffalo. The two losses are Richmond and Tulsa, if I'm not mistaken, off the top of my head. What Jerry's doing is he's setting his standards. He's setting his style of play. Saban Lee is explosive off the bounce. It's a really good fit because, you know, he wants to play fast. He wants to flow into offense. They want to be aggressive. And, you know, and Aaron Naismith is really, you know, just a talented player that can make plays. And Scottie Pippen Jr. has been very, very good and actually shot the ball pretty well from the three, which is something that people question. So, you know, you're not, you know, can they be competitive? Sure, they can be competitive. They're a year older. I mean, you got to understand now. I mean, last year, that team was devastated with, obviously, Garland's injury and other injuries, and they were very, very young. Well, now they're a year older. And how do you learn to make good decisions? You make some bad ones. How do you learn to compete at the next level and deal with adversity? You go through it. Sometimes you have to learn to lose before you learn to win. I mean, that's just the way it is. Those three pieces are good pieces. They've got to add pieces. Will they win some games? Probably. Yeah, they will. I mean, are they going to be an elite team in the SEC? No, they won't. But they'll win some games because Naismith and Lee and Pippen can carry over from a softer non-conference schedule to SEC play. And Memorial Coliseum, I mean, you put all those things together and you're going to stay in games. You've got to finish games. The one great thing about former NBA guys that have coached, because Jerry Stackhouse wasn't given the Vandy job. I mean, he's earned the Vandy job because of the work he's put in. I mean, like, coaching G League is not easy. Mm-hmm. It's hard. It's really hard. And what the one thing in close games, I think they'll be very good because NBA coaches, former NBA coaches, are really, really good because you get so many situations, time, score, side out, under. You know, it's almost like football, you know, in special situations. In the NBA and in college, when you have a more level playing field and the games are closer, you got to be good at first play of the half, out of timeouts, underneath, out of bounds, side out of bounds. And I really believe that NBA experience helps you develop a kind of a mindset and an understanding of how to take advantage of those special situations. So I think they'll be competitive. I think they'll win games. And like I said, I'm really impressed. I don't have to be impressed. I mean, I just think Jerry Stackhouse is a very good coach.
We're talking with Steph Greenberg, ESPN. The bigger upside, you just mentioned Vernon Carey, the center out of Duke. But James Wiseman, obviously he's suspended until, I think, the beginning of the year. But he has played this season, and he showed that he's going to be a very good player. But who in your eyes, has the biggest upside?
They're two different players. You know, Vernon can shoot the three, but he's a low post player. You put him on the right block, he's going to score it. He plays out of a double team. He's got a feel. And James Wiseman is, you know, like, he's long, he's quick, he's explosive, he's wiry. He's he's a little bit, he's different. You know, Vernon Carey is going to be I wouldn't say an old school post player, but a skilled big. You know, I think James Wiseman is going to be more the Marvin Bagley type. He's going to be more of a, you know, athletic run and jump, and probably end up probably being a four man. Both very good. I was really impressed. I was impressed with how Wiseman has carried himself, his explosiveness, his joy for the game, how he's immersed himself in the team. That team is really, they're fun to watch, and the Penny's given them freedom. But they play extremely aggressively on both sides of the floor. Their shot selection could just improve just a little bit. I think of one thing that could hurt them, like when they get completely healthy, if they really, really kind of commit to not taking the first shot, but getting a better shot at certain times, at times their shot selection hurts them. Like you looked at the first half of the UAB game the other day, their shot selection was horrific. They're down, whatever. In the second half, they kind of buckled down, got good shots, defended. They could be really an elite defensive team. I mean, they're going to be a team that's going to compete for, a Final Four, an Elite Eight. I mean, they're talented enough and they play hard enough. They could clean up their shot selection. I think they could do something really special.
So, Vernon Carey, you believe more is a Joel Embiid than anything?
Yeah, exactly. That's okay. A great comparison. Mm-hmm. That's terrific. Doesn't have the total footwork yet, Vernon Carey is really good. And look, you know how good Vernon Carey is? Tell me the last time, excluding Okafor, that Duke played through a low post player.
It's been a long time, yeah.
That's how good he is. Yeah, they usually make a four-man a five-man and a three-man a four-man. I mean, now they're playing, like, that big dude's touching the ball. We're going to have it. We don't steal it. That big dude is touching the ball, and then we'll play after that. And that's how good he is.
Seth Greenberg, always a pleasure, man. This is an exciting season, and I think this state is all in on college hoops right now, and it's fun to be here. So, thank you, Coach. We appreciate it.
Enjoy it. And Belmont and Lipscomb, I'll tell you one thing. Those two teams are going to be really, really well coached, and they are always good.
Yeah, no question about it. Thank you, Seth.
Thanks, guys.
Yep. Absolutely. Good stuff there from Seth Greenberg. I
could talk college.
Look, dude, the whole
day.
Country is jacked up about Memphis and Tennessee. Like, that's how big this game is on Saturday.
Oh, you're right.
Everyone around the country is paying attention
to this. I wish Wiseman was playing, too, man. God.
All right. Let's just hold your thoughts. We'll come back, and then obviously the Preds are back on the ice tonight as well. So we'll get to that. Also, tweet us at 1025_MD. Worst Christmas breakups, and maybe you'll win a gift card. We'll have to give that away as well. Don't go anywhere. Morning Drive, ESPN 1025 The Game. Morning Drive, ESPN 102.5 The Game. It is the season for giving, and 102.5 The Game is in the spirit. Donations of toys, winter clothing, or school supplies will be accepted now at the 102.5 The Game studios at 1824 Murfreesboro Pike in Nashville. Donations will benefit our kids, the homeless, and the Pencil Foundation. You can also donate at the Sudden Service convenience store located at 2605. That's what it says, 2605. Highway 49 in Pleasant View tomorrow. So I 2605 Highway 49 in Pleasant View. If it's on the paper, I'm going to read it.
Yeah. View Ron Burgundy.
Tomorrow between 2 and 6 p.m. Plus, while there, enter for your chance to win one of those sweet Winter Classic jerseys. Those things are awesome. For more information, visit thegamenashville.com or the Game Nashville app. 1025 is the game season of giving, brought to you by, of course, Sudden Service Convenience Stores. And I can't remember a bigger game. And I'm glad Rex Road is writing about this.
Uh-huh.
We'll talk with Hal Gill in just a few minutes about the Nashville Predators game coming up tonight against Buffalo. Joe Rex was writing about this. The Memphis-Tennessee rivalry needs to continue.
Mm-hmm.
If Penny Hardaway is going to do what he's doing, which is sort of playing up everything and, you know, some shtick and playing up the rivalry between the game that happened a couple of years ago with the benches and everything and, like, mm-hmm. you know, what happened and... I get why he's calling attention to his university because he wants Memphis to gain notoriety and relevancy, and they have. Mm-hmm. They are now a national basketball story around the country, and great for him. That is actually a really good job by him. But when he does that, he's risking the matchup with Tennessee, because what does Rick Barnes gain from playing Memphis? Like, what does Tennessee gain from this? And that's what you're risking?
At this point, nothing, really.
Like, honestly, if you're Rick Barnes, you're like, all I'm doing is giving Memphis a chance to beat us
mm-hmm.
and give them a chance to, like, brag about an opportunity on the recruiting trail. Now it gives us a chance to win, too.
Mm-hmm.
But this is like the whole Texas A&M football thing. They're not playing each other because what does it benefit Texas? There's no benefit to Texas. They're like, why would we play you? Like, we don't have to. We're the richest, most powerful athletic department in the country. Why would we play you? A&M's almost the same.
Yeah.
So I hope it continues, because I think it is great for the state of basketball. And there is so much momentum right now in the state of Tennessee with the way basketball and college hoops has sort of developed in this state over the last, let's say, I don't know, 5-8 years maybe. Mm-hmm. I don't know what, I mean, Rick Bird was doing it forever. So I don't, you know, he gets credit for a long time, but you know, what Kermit Davis did at MTSU mm-hmm. beating Michigan State. Sorry, Derek.
I like Kermit. So
it's just, you know, John Morant is not really more. Murray State's not Middle Tennessee, but it's in the area. Now he's in the state at Memphis. I just think mm-hmm. there's this surging attitude and excitement about basketball. We are talking about a December non-conference basketball game in college on the show, and it's mm-hmm. going to be one of the most watched games in all of non-conference basketball this year.
Yeah. I mean, you have, you know, the continued, hopefully, rivalry with UT and Memphis would be wonderful as Memphis continues to, you know, trend upward. UT coming off of, you know, historic season they had last year. And it seems like, you know, they're still playing really good basketball. Now, obviously, they got to replace people, but what they did the last 2 years helps in the recruiting trail, so you can then still get those 4- and 5-star guys that want to come to your program. And then you have Vandy, who right now is sitting at 6-2. Are they ranked? No, but they have 3 players on their team that are really good. You got a coach that has, you know, earned himself a job, you know, at the university because of what he did in the G League and assistant coaching and everything else. And then, obviously, what's going on at Lipscomb and Belmont. I mean, this is turning into, hopefully, a state where every weekend you want to see 5 teams play, whether it's Lipscomb, Belmont, UT, Vandy, or Memphis,
so,
because you know you're watching good teams.
So Will on the text line, 615-737-1025, says, I agree that Tennessee should play Memphis regularly, but it doesn't have to be every year. Plenty of in-state teams and other name brands UT can rotate with the Tigers. I just don't think there's anything as...
They play Vandy twice gonna play a Vandy, year and
that's
already.
Just,
yeah.
Right, that's in conference and it is what it is. There's not a bigger name in the state than Memphis outside of Tennessee. And so... I mean, what do you like?
I mean,
okay,
Belmont, they can play Belmont,
which is nice. That's a really great. I mean, we obviously love Belmont here. Like, I get it. ETSU, like MTSU, TSU, Lipscomb, UTC. Like, where are you going? UT Martin. Where are you going?
MTSU,
that's anything that's going to come close to Memphis.
If they were the MTSU of a few years ago,
that's
then
still
yes.
not Memphis.
But MTSU was like, good. They were really good.
I know they were, but when they played Memphis in 2008 with Bruce Pearl, it was 1-2.
Yeah.
And they went to the FedEx Forum and they won, and it was one of the craziest things I've ever seen. And so when Tennessee and Memphis is good like this, it's almost like you have to put your personal feelings aside and recognize that you can capture momentum around college basketball, a very niche sport that is difficult to draw attention to, especially in December, right? Mm-hmm. People don't start really watching until the tournament nationally. You know, I know you're a diehard basketball fan, and Marquise is too, and Seth Greenberg is, and I am, but like the majority of people don't watch college basketball until the tournament.
Yeah.
And like it's almost like Rick Barnes has to put his personal feelings aside, even though it doesn't necessarily benefit his program, and say, listen, we're going to play Memphis every year. You could turn it into some big thing where it's a foundation and a charity event or something. Like, you could turn it into anything. Mm-hmm. You could rotate it between Knoxville, Memphis, and Nashville if you wanted to play a neutral site game. You could get creative with it, is what I'm saying. And what you could do is you could capitalize on the momentum and the interest that is currently there for your programs, because you got a chance to capture people as like lifelong college basketball fans. I don't know. I just think you have to. That's something that everybody in the entire state would look forward to every year.
Well, I mean, the way these two teams are trending, it would only, honestly, it would benefit both teams, I think, because both teams are at a point right now. One is 19, the other 13. Memphis is ranked 13, UT's 19. That, you know, you're going to get a good game. You're going to get, it's going to be a good product. And if this continues, then, like you said, people are going to be looking forward to this game.
And Battle of the Boulevard is something we all look forward to as college basketball fans in Nashville. It doesn't really expand out towards a regional thing. Like, it's a very big deal here in Nashville. Mm-hmm. But it could be that. It could be you know, the Battle of I-40. I don't know. Like, it could be that.
Nationally.
But as a far greater reach. Because these are two top 20 teams right now.
Yeah.
And it doesn't look like Memphis or Rick Barnes are going anywhere
No.
as far as quality of team moving forward. So I just think it's great for the state. And to have guys like Seth Greenberg on the national level be so honed in and focused on this and jacked up about it is great for everybody. Memphis, Penny, Rick, Barnes, Tennessee, fans, everything. It's great for the state, and it's a fun time to be a college basketball fan in the state. It's been that way for about a year and a half now. Mm-hmm. I'd like to see the momentum continue. Hal Gill talking Preds is there back on the ice tonight against Buffalo when we return right here. Morning Drive, ESPN, 102.5 The Game. Well, we will give away the $100 Moments Piece gift card coming up in just a few minutes. Preds back on the ice tonight at Buffalo against the Sabres. This team, second in the division, very good at home, playing good hockey right now. And Hal Gill joining us here, brought to you by Puckett's. And Hal, obviously 4 points, 5-1-2 in their last eight. It does feel like the ship has been righted a little bit. But New Jersey and San Jose, not exactly top-level competition. The schedule gets a lot harder from here on out.
Yeah, I think you look through the NHL and you say, okay, that's not a great team. And we should beat them, but I don't care. It's hard to get 2 points. It's hard to beat teams, and I feel like the Preds always play up. They played St. Louis and swept that home and home. So I think they think the ship is righted. I think they're doing some good things out there. They just need to make sure they are consistent defensively, and I think the guys who should be scoring goals are going to come around, and the guys, I mean, the secondary scoring has been great. Guys like Bonino and Yarncroke are just dumping in the net. So, I think things are coming around and probably at the right time, because I don't think they want to wait too much longer before they start making a pretty good push.
So you believe they've now settled in to not having Victor Arvidsson, because, like you said, they guys that are supposed to be the star guys, they are. And then the guys that you expect to, you know, pick up the slack, they have. Bonino, Yarncroke, other guys. Tourist has come in and play well. So guys that have needed to pick up the slack, they have.
Yeah. I mean, you look at who the leading scorers are, and it's nice to have Yarncroke and Bonino in that. But, you know, Forsberg is up there. It's great. Roman Josi is amazing, and what he does for this team is next-level elite stuff, but he shouldn't be leading the team. So I think as far as getting points, I think you're going to see Duchesne come around. Ryan Johansson had a good game and got a big goal for the Preds. It's tough not having Victor Arvidsson in the lineup. But, without him, I think they've done all right. I think, you need to push those guys and especially Duchesne, he needs to come around and start scoring, getting his points more on a regular basis. And I think, you know, let's be honest, the power play isn't where it needs to be so that they can win games handily. And I think that's a big point of emphasis. I think they're focused on that. And once that comes around, I think you'll see those guys get their points.
What has been the difference, in your opinion, on the power play? I mean, it started off so hot. Obviously, the shooting percentages were through the roof. You could not maintain that. Sort of, that's just natural, normal regression there. But what has been the difference in the power play from the beginning couple of months of the season to today?
Well, like you said, they came out hot, and then it's kind of fizzled. And I'm not sure why. It became tentative again. And I hate that word on the power play, because if you look around the NHL – there's not a lot of thinking. They're just making plays, and the good teams are moving it so quick. The penalty kills really don't have time to think. And I think that's what happened on that Johansson goal is they just moved it quick, got it out of trouble. Josi made a nice play. Yarncroak just ripped it over to Forsberg. Forsberg sells the shot, and then it's a pass. There's not a lot of thinking. I think they need to get back to that. They made some adjustments. They went to that spread against Carolina, which was like a 2-3 spread, and I like that adjustment. And then they had a trouble switching back to the 1-3-1 that we've always seen with the bumper. So they're going through progressions. I just think they got to put it together and make it quick, make it snappy, move it around and shoot.
Now, you talk about the power play, Hal, but they've done a good job in a penalty kill as well. Explain to the listeners what it takes to be a really good penalty kill team, because, you know, the last game they did an excellent job at killing off, the other team's power play.
Yeah. As a penalty kill guy, I hated percentages. You look through and say, okay, their percentages aren't good and they're, you know, lower in the league. But I feel like that penalty kill has stepped up at big times and gotten huge kills at the end of games to be able to get through. The 5-minute major that they killed off was huge. And that just shows up as one kill. And it's, if you give up a bunch of goals in one game like they did, that kills your percentage. But I feel like they've stepped up, and that's huge. And that's what the power play ultimately needs to do. I don't care about their percentage. When it's a big moment, they need to step up. And I look down the list of guys that kill penalties, Colton Sissons, Austin Watson, Nick Bonino, Cal Yarncroak, and they just do all the right things. And then defensive-wise, I just love – Ryan Ellis is so impressive to me. The way he can close space and get out and block a one-timer, but then be able to get back in front of the net and tie up sticks and take away passing lanes. The D have been great. I think Dan Hamhuis has done a great job. But they've gotten timely killing, and that's what it's all about.
Yeah, your numbers are skewed when you give up 5 power play goals in one game. Or was it 8 total in 2 games against Vancouver? Like, that'll skew your numbers pretty quickly. So it's
– Yeah, that stings.
Yep. Hal Gill joining us here, of course, brought to you by Puckett's on Morning Drive. And the Preds at Buffalo tonight, pregame at 5, puck drop at 6. I do love that Eastern – conference start time as somebody who gets up very early, Hal. Goaltending, it feels like it was sort of alternating as the season has gone along through the first 30 games or so. You know, Pekka was great early, one of the best starts ever for any goaltender his age. UC wasn't playing as well. Then UC stepped up and played really well. Now it feels like they're both kind of finding their groove. How delicate do you have to be if you're the coaching staff with balancing two guys that could be playing as well as they have all season and trying to maintain that over the course of a long season?
It's tough. I wouldn't want to be a coach, and I know they have conversations and they talk about it daily with the goalie coach, Ben Van de Klok. I think he has a thing in mind and a rotation, but in the end, a head coach has to pull the trigger and decide, do we ride a hot hand? Do we keep these guys fresh and rotate them? If we do try to keep them fresh, does that pull them out of a hot streak? Pekka was great and he was playing so well. I think Saros was playing good. He just wasn't at that great level that he is now. And, you know, they kind of kept that rotation going, and then the team didn't play well. And then both of them kind of sputtered. Saros came around and pulled them out And then Pekka came in after missing a few games, and you're like, okay, maybe it's juice. He's going to take over now. But then Pekka's been fantastic. So it's so delicate. I don't know how they're going to balance this out as they go. It's kind of interesting to see because I don't think there's a wrong play. You know, if you want to keep these guys rested, but you do want to keep them hot. And, we've seen it before. Binnington went on a hot streak and won the cup last year in St. Louis. So you want to get a hot goalie and ride him, but you want to keep him fresh. So good luck with that one. I'll tip my hat to Laviolette on how he's going to handle this one.
Hey, well, it's a good problem to have. There's no question about that. Hal Gill, brought to you by Puckett's. Man, we'll be listening tonight. Thank you so much for your time. We always appreciate it, bud.
All right. Thanks, guys.
Absolutely. Hal Gill there joining us. Brought to you by Puckett's. Again, pregame 5, puck drop at 6. You got that Eastern time zone start there, or Eastern Conference start there. Always love that. Just an up and back for Buffalo, and then back against Dallas on Saturday night, 5:30 start time, a more unique time. Huge one on Saturday, as then they have a 4-game road trip the following week. So it's going to be tougher sledding in the schedule over the course of the next 2 weeks, and it should be a very critical 2 weeks for the Nashville Predators. So,
absolutely.
We will give away our $100 gift card and wrap up this bad boy with the Daily Rewind when we come back right here on Morning Drive.
Big show.
Time for a big finish on Morning Drive.
Our Twitter contest for the day for the $100 gift card for A Moment's Peace Salon and Day Spa, $100 gift card all through this week and next week. We've had some really heartfelt answers today. A guy tore about bad Christmas breakups. A guy tore his ACL and his fiance broke up with him, and then his family had to move him out because he had a torn ACL. That's brutal. Matt went to a Christmas party with his girlfriend. The girl brought another dude to the Christmas party. People are savage. All right. But our winner, and I do not know how to say your name. I apologize. So I don't know if it's this just your first name or if it's your first and last name. It could be
all together.
Amaryllis maybe is your name.
Amaryllis?
Amaryllis.
That could be her name. Again, I apologize. We do not know how to read your Twitter account. But it's Amaryllis. I'm going to go with two names. I'm just going to guess because people think mine's one name, Brad Engall. They don't think it's Braden Gall. They think it's Brad Engall. So you don't know where to put the break in the Twitter account. So I'm going to just go with Amaryllis. I'm going to go with two names.
Amaryllis.
This is her tweet. This happened a few years ago, but I was dating someone, and they pretty much broke up with me right after I gave them their Christmas presents. They did not thank me for the gifts, and it's the last time I've dated someone. So if that's 2 years of not dating, she needs something to help her move on.
Yes, move on.
So you are our winner today.
Cleanse all that negative energy, girl.
Yeah, just
get it massaged out.
Get all that lactic acid out of your body.
Yes, there's a lot of lactic acid built up. Quickly, I want to congratulate. I want to say congratulations to my son. Oh. He got accepted into Boston University.
Whoa!
So congratulations, DJ.
That
was
go,
his
man.
First.
Boston
that was his
U,
first
that's
choice,
serious,
so
dude.
He got accepted to Boston U, so
I had no chance.
That's where he's going to college.
I don't think the three of us. We went to three state schools.
No.
I went
to Tennessee. You went to a pretty good school.
So. Michigan State, though. Hey, there we go.
There you go. So there you go. Congrats, DJ. And then we'll get with you on the DMs there to make sure you get your gift card. Amaryllis, I guess, is what we're saying. Amaryllis?
Amaryllis.
All right. Thank you for listening, of course. And you'll get your gift card here momentarily and cleanse all that negative energy. Now it's time to rewind it back. ESPN Morning Drive, 102.5 The Game. Derek Mason, Braden Gall, Marquise Munson producing, a.k.a. Just Munson, behind the glass, hanging out. Good Thursday morning, everybody. How are we doing today? Nashville Predators back on the ice tonight on the road. A little up and back to the Buffalo Sabres. The Sabres, they'll go up there and take on Buffalo. And then back home for an unusual start time, 5:30 on Saturday against the Stars. That is going to be interesting. They are chasing the Stars directly in the standings. They are down by 6 points right now. So if they can pick up two tonight, they can maybe enter that game against Dallas with a chance to cut that margin to a small number, which is, again, they just got to keep kind of staying the course here. They've righted the ship with a couple of wins against New Jersey and then again against San Jose, but those are not great teams. But you pick up 4 points, and you're 5-1-2 in your last eight. UC Saros was great. The power play scored. You're starting to feel a little mojo moving and working. It's headed in the right direction, at least for now.
This team can start to stack wins on top of wins. It would be nice to end the year on a nice little winning streak for the Nashville Predators. You know, what are your New Year's resolutions? Well, we renamed them, didn't we?
Yes.
Yeah, look, we renamed them. They're not resolutions anymore.
Derek, I'm so glad you said that, because I was just about to say, I don't think anyone should say New Year's resolutions anymore.
No.
And my reason behind that is you're setting yourself up for failure.
Exactly.
If you're calling it a resolution, that means you have to do it no matter what.
Yeah.
Or it's quote-unquote a failure.
Exactly.
It's a New Year's intention.
Yeah, these are my intentions.
These are my intentions. And so, then you just give yourself some wiggle room.
Exactly.
You know, every now
like not too much wiggle room, but some wiggle room.
No, you can have like a cheat day. It's going to be hard to stop Deshaun Watson and the Texans' offense. They're pretty good. They run the ball well. They throw the ball well. They've got a dynamic quarterback. It all runs through him. They've got a number one receiver who might be the best on the planet. It's going to be hard to stop him, especially with a banged up secondary. But I also look at the Texans' defense, and we've cited the stats all week that they're not pressuring the quarterback. They're not getting off the field on third down. The Titans feel like they sort of have, for the first time in a long time, a younger, more explosive receiving core with Brown and Davis. I'm not as worried, and the game's at home, so I'm not as worried about the offense being good. I think if Derrick Henry, his leg holds up and he can run, I think the offense will score points. I think it's more of a question, does the defense get a stop when they need it? Here's my question, though. Do you wish it would have been reversed as far as timing? Because I think it plays really well that this game is at home this week because they're banged up. I think that's going to help them as much as a home field advantage can, I guess. I also understand playing in week 17 at home being very valuable.
I think they put all of what they had into that New England game. And you saw what happened the next following game. I just think whoever they would have played, they wouldn't have played a good game because of how they played against New England. And they haven't been that team that has been consistently, you know, playing at a high level. They have done it at times, but it's always something that keeps Houston at 10-6. Or 9-7, you know, something that whether it's injury or what the head coach, it's always something that keeps either Indianapolis around or now the Tennessee Titans. Because for all intents and purposes, Houston should have ran away with this division. They should have.
Oh yeah,
but they didn't.
Joe Rex wrote from The Athletic.
I would say not only with this team being a home, this turnaround, but the way it is very fun to watch this team play now offensively. So you would think that would matter too if they can sustain that. But there's a lot of options in this city. And, you know, I guess I don't find this to be like all that out of the ordinary or strange that it would be hard, you know, to get it back given what happened for several years before this era with John Robinson and Abe Adams struck at charge. But I will agree that, like, this now, this is a game where you would expect it to be full or close to it, and you would expect, you know, an atmosphere to make a difference for the team. And I guess that's what I expect to see someday. I'll be surprised if that's not the case.
Nick Saban taking some shots at players as well. Taking some shots at players.
Oh, Nicky.
Never. He always has something to say about something.
Oh, Nicky, Nick Saban. You're so fine. You blow my mind. Hey, Nicky.
Go to break, Nicky. Seth Greenberg joining us here.
Memphis is almost the epicenter of college basketball in a lot of ways with everything that's gone on there with James Wiseman and the situation with the University of Memphis decided to play him, the freshman class, the expectation, the manner in which they've become a little bit of this year's, iteration of the Fab Five. The success Tennessee's had has been obviously well documented, the job that Rick has done. And even though they lost two terrific players, actually three terrific players, and they are extremely competitive and tough and are built to last. So, Jerry's going to do a good job at Vanderbilt. And quite honestly, he was left some pretty good players. Look, I think Jerry Stackhouse is a terrific coach, but how they treated Bryce Drew was absolutely appalling. But, you know, to me, basketball is alive and well in the state, and it's a state that loves basketball. That's the biggest thing. I mean, in the South, you take Kentucky out of the equation, the state of Kentucky, who really loves basketball? I'll tell you one thing, people in the state of Tennessee love their hoops.
Go ahead.
And
go ahead.
If
sing
I
along.
Am in love, so true, I will be sure that the lady just like you. Oh!
That's when you drop down on both of your knees, like, oh!
In the rain.
Yeah, I was going to say, your shirt's unbuttoned all the way to like the last button.
You gotta spin first.
And the camera's spinning around you.
No, you gotta spin so your shirt can spin around with you. And then you fall to your knees.
Little flow.
And it just happened to be raining outside. Yeah,
it's always raining.
Yeah.
if you don't break up, if you break up and it's sunshine outside, then you're not doing it right. It's gotta be dark, it's gotta be raining, and you gotta wear a button up with no undershirt.
Do you break
catch
up in musical form, yeah. Derek?
Hey, girl. Yeah. I was out with my boy Marquise yesterday, and we followed you, and we saw you.
Oh, my God. This guy got stalkers
in the back
very
of Chick-fil-A.
Quickly.
Yeah, yeah.
No, Marquise would be more of a Popeye's guy.
I saw you at Popeye's, girl.
You were standing outside waiting for that chicken biscuit.
I saw you and him. I saw you and him fighting over that chicken sandwich.
You were in line for 2.5 hours.
And I just realized you just wasn't a girl for me.
Oh, that's when you know you found the wrong one. You know, when you're waiting in line for 2.5 hours for a chicken biscuit.
Yeah.
Priorities are a little mixed up there.
Yeah.
I would love to see my ex and her current boyfriend fighting over a chicken sandwich.
Hey, you got some evil in you, son.
Yes, just being, man.
Or not just fighting over a chicken sandwich and me just looking in the window like, yeah.
Am I the only one who's just rooting for everyone to be happy, man? Just everyone find some love and be happy. Like, just peace and love, right? Can't we just be we need to be happier and nicer to each other.
Yes, we do.
After reading all these texts, the tweets today.
Savage.
I'm hearing some stuff. Just, guys, men, women, just be cool, man. Respectful. Love each other.
Yes.
All right. Positive message here at the end of the show.
There you go.
Brett's back on the ice. Pregame at 5, puck drop at 6. He's Derek Mason. My name's Braden Gall. He's Marquise Munson. Thanks for listening, everybody. Morning Drive, ESPN, 102.5 The Game.
Bailey, DJ Nashville, stay warm, and I love ya.
Hey, everybody. Lady Luck here. And we're celebrating America's 250th birthday. Now, all summer long, I'm going to be celebrating by playing on SpinQuest.com, which is an American-owned social casino. It obviously features over 1,000 slot games and live blackjack, live craps, live bubble craps. Head on over to SpinQuest.com. Get yourself a $30 coin pack for just $10.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.